It's nice to have you here.
Thanks. It's good to be here, Phil.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Phil.
And welcome back, everyone, to Deep in Bear Country. That's not how I do the intro.
Just do it, Phil.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we are back in Birder's Wood.
What? Where did Chainsaw go?
I haven't brought you into the show yet.
I'm sorry.
I haven't introduced
Hi,
you.
Hi, it's... No, you should
no,
introduce me.
No, I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez.
I might be taking over your podcast.
Oh, well, it's not that hard. I have a formula, and I stick to it.
Do you want to redo that?
No, God, okay. No. That would take forever. Everyone, guess who's back?
That's right. It's Mark Sweeney.
It's Mark Sweeney. He came back.
You can't get rid of me.
No. If you remember from last week, we talked about the Berenstain Bears and the
Chainsaw Gap
showdown
at Chainsaw Gap.
And one of our sticking points was that there's no Chainsaw Gap.
Where is Chainsaw Gap?
There was no Chainsaw Gap in the whole book. And I'm still befuddled as to why they called it that.
However,
in the episode, I said, why didn't they call this Showdown at Birder's Wood?
Right.
Because that's the name of the place where they're having the showdown.
Right. I wondered the same thing.
And so when I was putting the episode together, I was trying to find an image of the book. And so I started Googling Berenstain Bears and the showdown, and it filled in at Birder's Wood. And I was like,
ooh.
Well, that's weird. So I clicked enter on Google.
Uh-oh.
Dangerous. And a YouTube video popped up of an episode of the Nelvana series from 2003, PBS, shown on PBS in the States, called Berenstain Bears, Showdown at Birder's Wood. I turned it on, and lo and behold, it is somewhat loosely based on...
It kind of springboards. It uses kind of some of the setup.
Yeah.
There's a bird report,
mm-hmm.
not to be mistaken with a book report.
There's Yellow Popinjay.
Yes, there is Birder's Woods.
Yep.
There is a...
Yeah. Squire Grizzly's
still owns the woods.
Story adjacent to it.
Mm-hmm. They go to actual factuals.
Yep, the Bearsonian.
And they don't only learn about extinct birds, but also
endangered birds. There are changes. This isn't the first episode of the Nelvana series that's been based on one of the chapter books. That happened with the Giddy Grandma, where mm-hmm. they took the basic setup mm-hmm. and then, well, I mean, it's a 10-minute episode, so they had to like quickly rush through it and shorten it and make it and change the point entirely. So I sent it to you. I was like, hey, guess what?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, wow, here it is. I immediately watched it.
Yes. So one of the things I do want to talk about is, does it work better as a story? Is this the point better? But we'll get to that.
Okay.
Because great. Sometimes those TV guys, like those writers,
mm-hmm.
like they know how to distill a story and fix a lot of little problems that some of the books have.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
When I've watched, we did a episode on Double Dare.
Yeah.
And it was the same case. Stakes were at better pitch.
Yep.
Their gear.
I'm sorry, I live in a haunted house.
They're geared towards like kids in a more direct kind of like, this is what this story is about.
Right.
Kind of way.
They refine mm-hmm. it a lot better.
Yes.
And I think it's because, like, especially when you're working with like professional TV children's show writers, like right. they are trained to make sure that those lessons zero in, that there's nothing extraneous to distract the kids.
You should get some of those writers on the show, Phil.
Oh, they're probably long dead.
This episode's 14 years old. I don't think they're that dead.
So we already said this it's renamed Berenstain Bears Showdown at Birder's Wood, which already like I was like, oh, this is right. This is correct. I think finally someone's going to tell this story the way it was meant to be.
You're
told.
Hoping that someone out there realized all the flaws that we'd realized last week.
But I was curious.
Including the fact that there is no Chainsaw Gap.
Well, I was gonna say I was like, oh, how are they gonna deal with like conflict between adults and like the way that the whole community like rises up over this like one issue
mm-hmm.
and well, how do they do it?
They don't.
They oh, what do they do?
They just make it a small conflict between The bullies and the kids.
The bullies and, well, the bullies and like two kids.
Two kids, which comprise of the whole class.
Because let's talk about the first thing, which is this is the TV series. So several characters are not involved. There's mm-hmm. no Ferdy Factual. There's yeah. no Trudy Brunowitz.
There's no camcorder.
There's no camcorder because there's no Bertha. There's mm-hmm. no Bonnie Brown. Mm-hmm. There's just brother, Freddy.
Too tall.
His gang.
Sister.
And Lizzie.
Yeah.
And Sister and Lizzie only go because they want to fill out their feather collection. Yeah.
There's no like romantic motivation.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
These kids are portrayed as much younger than they are in the chapter books.
Right.
So you're kind of on this. And so the whole thing. So we get Teacher Bob introducing
yeah,
the birds.
Yeah, but it gets right to the chase. Yeah.
And he's like, we're going to go to Birders Woods. We're going to go to the Bearsonian mm-hmm. Institute. And then he does his puns, though.
He does
his
but
fun
he doesn't
puns.
Threaten to goose the children. So
no, he does.
It.
He says, I wrote it down. He says, even though I can see you're not flying high about our new topic. And I just want to point out that flying high isn't actually a bird pun. He treats it like it is one, but it's not real. Like, the book had more like obvious ones.
More direct bird names.
But he leans into it. He's
he
like
does.
Flying high.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone trying to duck assignments or chicken out of our class trip. And then everyone laughs.
Really?
The whole class bursts into laughter. The whole class is like, ha ha ha. They're used to it.
Yeah.
They know his laugh lines.
I don't remember. I've watched this twice. I don't remember that.
We watched it like 5 minutes ago.
I don't remember.
We rewatched
laughing.
It. We sat here together and rewatched. They all laugh. Do I need to find
well,
it?
I would have liked it better if Ferdy explained to the kids that he was using bird puns to show the importance of birds in their life.
Oh, I get it. Ferdy Factual.
Yeah.
So we lose Ferdy, but we gain Cousin Freddy's know-it-all
right,
attitude.
Right, right.
So Sister and Lizzie get invited to come along because they have a feather collection. And we find out that Too Tall has an ulterior motive to wanting to go on this trip. Since there's no Queenie McBear,
mm-hmm.
he wants to go into Birders Woods because
he wants to build an ultimate treehouse.
Fort.
Tree fort.
He wants to build.
Sorry, tree houses is where bears
live.
Tree forts are the things you build outside of trees.
Yes. Yeah.
That are where kids play.
Right. So
I don't understand the way the bear world works.
So Tootall and his gang, which only consists of Scuzz and Smirk, there doesn't seem to be any Vinny. Mm-hmm. Tootall and his gang want to build the ultimate tree fort, which is mm-hmm. a box in a tree.
And they found the best tree.
Well, we'll get to there.
Oh, yeah.
Don't jump ahead of me. Don't get ahead.
I always am.
Don't get ahead.
I get excited, Phil.
So they go to the Bird Woods. They go to Birder Woods.
Yes.
And there's no video camera, like you said.
Yes. But there is a camera.
Yes.
Okay.
An Instamatic.
Yes.
That Cousin Freddy is using. Because mm-hmm. there's only two students. None of the other students of Teacher's Bob show up. We saw a classroom full of random bears. And then when it comes down to it, it's only Tootall and his gang off in another part of the woods. Cousin Freddy and Brother Bear there, and then the two little girls who aren't part of the class. You don't see any other cubs.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But. They kept this one element from the book.
Which part?
It's when the bird. Now this, and it's used for a different purpose, or what purpose is it used for in the cartoon? Is when the bird plays hurt.
Right.
In order for, to protect its. It's eggs.
Yeah, it's nest.
It's nest. So this was used in the book to win over the admiration of Tootall.
Yeah, it's where he's like, wow, birds. Wow.
Yeah. Wow, that's, birds are fascinating.
That's really rad.
Really going to become an environmentalist now.
Mm-hmm. In the cartoon, though, I think it's shown it's there for thematic reasons.
That's what I was going to say, Phil. It's there for thematic reasons.
And what is that thematic reason?
Because eventually we're supposed to learn about compromise.
And the bird is compromising by
sacrificing his
wing
and health in order to save his nest. Her
I think
nest.
That's altruism.
I know. Here's the problem. Yeah. Yeah. How is that compromise?
Right. So
because I had the same thought, Phil. I was like, oh, they're keeping this to show a lesson about sacrifice. But then I was like, wait a second, the lesson is compromise. And then when we eventually get to what the big compromise is in the story, there's almost no sacrifice.
Right. Like, and there's not really a compromise.
Yeah.
It's a weird. Okay. So also, like, the bird doesn't really sacrifice anything. She just tricks people.
Right. But worst case scenario, she's sacrificing herself.
Right.
Yeah.
But then there's no one to sit on the baby's eggs.
Yeah. You got a point
so
there.
So lose. Wow. Those birds really didn't think it through, did they?
Nature.
Then they go into the Hall of Shame, which isn't called the Hall of Shame.
No.
But it's just a bunch of dead birds.
Pictures of dead birds.
And then they go into the Hall of Not Yet Shame, which we didn't get in the book, which is almost dead birds.
Yes. Birds on the...
Birds on the edge.
On the...
endangered species
endangered
list.
Species list.
And they don't name any of them except for the yellow popinjay. Yeah.
There's a nice picture of a bald eagle, and you're like, huh, not on the endangered species list anymore.
Yeah.
Way to go, 14 years.
We did it.
We did it.
We did it.
If there's one thing we accomplished in this country.
And we're like, oh, yeah. Just wait a year or so. Mm-hmm. They'll be back on the menu. So... The yellow popinjay is there, and this is when we get the whole, like, we saw the yellow popinjay, and it's Cousin Freddy took a picture, and actual factual is like, oh, that's wonderful, like yellow popinjay. And so then this all kind of plays out the same, but this is where we find out what has happened with Tutal and his gang. They have found the perfect tree for their ultimate tree fort.
Yeah. And it's obviously the tree where that popinjay lives.
This is our conflict. Here's the central conflict of our story. Mm-hmm. It is between, it's not between Papa, and it's not between Squire Grizzly, and it doesn't have anything to do with Two-Ton Grizzly.
And it's not as strongly, it's not as, doesn't feel as strongly based in environmental.
No.
Yeah, environmental activism.
It's more just do-gooder brother and sister.
Or the power of protest. Which you barely even got to.
Which we didn't get to. Yeah, this is about like it's brother, Two-Ton wants to build a tree fort in his tree, and that'll disturb the popinjay's nest. Because she has eggs. And brother doesn't want him to build it there. And Tutal does. And that's pretty much it.
That's it.
Tutal doesn't have permission to build a tree fort in Birders Woods. Because we find out the Birders Woods are owned by Squire and Grizzly. Lady Grizzly. The cubs take their problem to Mama and Papa.
Yes.
Who say, I think you may have to.
Talk to Squire Grizzly, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Because first they say, talk to Squire Grizzly.
Oh, well, yeah. They say, you may have to compromise.
Yeah, because they go to visit Squire Grizzly, but Squire Grizzly is on vacation. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if Squire Grizzly and Lady Grizzly ever showed up in the Novana series.
I got it.
I don't know if they do. I haven't seen
it. So they didn't
want
to create new characters.
Like, oh, we don't want to have to hire some other Canadian.
They're just
going to
have some other guy living at their house.
Oh, you guys. I'm not going to do a Canadian accent. I can't do a Canadian millionaire. Mm-hmm. That's an impossible accent. There's only been one Canadian millionaire, and his name is Tim Horton.
Oh. Got it.
That's the only thing. That's the only famous Canadian I could think of. Mm-hmm. Alanis Morissette.
Mm-hmm. Ryan.
Everyone from SCTV.
Brian Adams.
Brian Adams, not Ryan Adams.
No.
Not,
don't do that.
Nope. He hates that. You make that joke, he will leave the stage.
All right. Moving on to Bear World.
Bear Ryan Adams. Bruin Adams. That's what it would be.
Possibly.
Yeah. Not Ruin Adams, though. No. That's what. Don't say that. Take that joke to him. He'll leave the stage. So anyway, they go to Squire Grizzly. Squire Grizzly is comically enough not home, but there is a drifter
guest.
So explain this scene. There's no setup. There's no explanation to this. Explain this scene.
Brother Bear is waiting outside the gates and is like, I've got the perfect argument. I'm just going to tell them that they can't build their fort at the tree. And then the bully, Tutal, shows up at the exact same time and is like, I'm going to tell them our treehouse rocks.
So the theory is going to go to this millionaire and be like, we're going to build a super cool treehouse and we want to build it in your tree. And he's going to be like, awesome.
In any other situation, the bully would just punch brother.
Right. So this is Nelvana Tutal. Mm-hmm. This is PBS Tutal. Mm-hmm. This is you can't make Tutal an upsetting character.
Yeah.
Tutal. He is soft spoken. He is reasonable. He just sounds like some kid. He's not a bully. He's just tough. Like, mm-hmm. you just get a sense that he's big. He's tough. Mm-hmm. But he seems like pretty level-headed. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to this guy and tell him I have an awesome tree fort.
So in The Perfect Dead End, they both show up at the doorstep of this mansion, and some random steps out and is like, oh, by the way, this plot point is moot.
Yep. Squire and Lady Grizzly are on vacation. But you said some random. It is literally just...
He has no explanation of why he's there.
It's not even... It's so... I think it's supposed to be the butler, mm-hmm. but he's dressed in...
Like shorts.
In an untucked shirt and like a floppy, like a... what's this? Jimmy Buffett hat and like glasses. And he's like, mm-hmm. yeah, Squire and Mrs. Grizzly aren't here. Mm-hmm. And he closes the door. So they go back home and they're all bummed out because Squire and Mrs. Grizzly aren't there. Tuto's going to run roughshod over this poor bird. And that's when
Papa Bear's like, you need to compromise. And then Sister Bear's like, oh, great idea, Papa. Hey, Mama, what is compromise?
She's like, well, so yeah. So Mama's like, you got to compromise. It's when like, well, each person has to give up a little bit of something in order to get what you want. Mm. And
that's called compromise. And it also is called like sacrifice, right? That's an element of compromise.
Yeah, sacrifice is a part of compromise.
Yeah, don't you believe that?
Phil? You give up a little bit of something.
Yeah.
And to meet in the middle.
Yeah, in order to get a little bit. Yeah, you give up a little to get, give a little to give a little.
Yeah.
Get a little, yeah.
Give a little to get everything, but not everything, because you've given a little. But you can't give as much as you get, or that's like a weird, skewed type of compromise. Mm-hmm. Ideally. So this is when we hear a story of a time Mama and Papa Bear compromised.
Oh, please explain the story to me, Phil, because it's got me lost.
So the kids were like, I don't know how to compromise. And Papa's like, do you remember when your mama wanted to go to an art show and I had a chair to deliver, but we each needed to use the car. So, and Sister's like, I remember that, because apparently this was a big thing that happened in the Bear family. She's like, I remember that. Mama left her art show early and you delivered the chair a little bit late. She didn't get to see the end of her art show, and you were late delivering your chair. Everyone wins. And I was like, like, it kind of stinks that you had to miss the end of that art show. And Papa, that's Papa's business. Like, now he's in bad standing with whoever he was delivering that chair to. Mm. But that's his example of compromise. He's like, you got to compromise. And they're like, well, we can't think of any way to compromise with Too Tall. And that's when Papa gets his brilliant idea, the ultimate compromise. Mark, tell us about the ultimate way to meet someone halfway.
Is, well, according to Papa Bear, the ultimate compromise, the ultimate way in order to meet someone halfway is to give them even more of what they want.
That's not a, that doesn't sound right.
Well, that's the lesson we're learning today.
Surely the idea is that Too Tall would give up something of his in order to sort of get what he wants, and that Brother would give up something of his in order to sort of get what he
wants. Here's what Too Tall is giving up: the best tree in the woods. Come on, Too Tall.
Well, that must be... Okay, that's a bit of a compromise, though, because now he has to build their ultimate tree fort in a less impressive tree, right?
No.
Well, that would make sense, though.
That would make sense.
Too Tall would just give up his tree, but he'd still get his little fort.
But he'd still get his fort. That would be a perfectly fine compromise. Right, you don't get your tree, you get your fort.
Yeah, that's a compromise.
But instead, Brother Bear and Papa Bear... Well, Papa Bear's idea.
I don't know what Brother's compromise would be, though. It'd be like, okay, you get to kill one egg.
Yeah.
There's more to this deal than that, though.
Yeah. So Papa Bear proposes that Brother Bear proposes the ultimate tree fort, which is like a double-decker tree fort. It's got a pole you can escape on. It's got a
water balloon launcher. It's got a spyglass.
The compromise. This is the sacrifice that Brother Bear is going to help build this for them at another tree.
Not just Brother Bear is going to help build
everyone.
Papa Bear is going
to design it.
Papa Bear designs this tree fort.
Yeah.
It is like the ultimate playset. It is like if you had a toy of this thing, you would be the happiest kid on earth. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that, okay, here's the bargain, Too Tall. You take that other tree that's pretty much like this one, and we will build you... literally a two-story house for you and your friends to play on forever and have the greatest time in the world.
Yeah.
How does that sound? That's not a compromise.
Yeah. It's gifting someone.
Yeah, it's...
giving someone more than they want. It's like, hey...
It's bribing someone.
Hey, Phil, you want a cookie? Here's a bakery.
Well, yeah, and it's... I think it's just a bribe. I think it's him saying, Too Tall won't leave. He's going to hurt this bird.
Yeah.
Just give him... Just see what he wants. Oh.
Yeah. it's like, I mean, this is the way we deal with like tyrannical governments sometimes, yeah, right? Like,
you just give them a lot of stuff and hope they go away.
Yeah.
And they do. They like build this giant two-story house with like a water balloon launcher and a telescope.
Yeah.
And
what the heck?
Like, that's Papa's. Papa does. That's a lot of material. That's hundreds of dollars of material.
I've been studying project management lately.
Yeah.
There's a word for this called gold plating.
What is that?
It's when you exceed, you add things to the project that weren't in the plan in order to try to like please the client, but it's more than they asked for.
Yeah.
So it can be extremely problematic and expensive and ridiculous. So
good thing they're not charging too tall anything.
Yeah, exactly. They're just gold plating the whole situation.
That's what Mark was mumbling to himself the whole time. It's gold plating. Look at that. Gold plating.
Yeah.
So they build this tree house and then they go up into it. And Tuttle says my favorite line in the episode, which is, you know, we never wanted to hurt the bird. Which is my favorite.
No one came out of this situation.
I mean, the bird's okay.
Yeah.
Bird, the bird came out on top and her eggs hatch. And they all look at the eggs through the spyglass.
Yeah.
And they go,
oh, cute.
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 Yeah, cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they sure are.
End of story.
This episode just like Iris is out, the end, on a bunch of like children in an ADR booth, like muttering into their microphones about how cute a cartoon bird is. There's so many issues with this thing. My big one being that everyone's really worried that Tuttle is going to build this treehouse, even though it is on private land. It is in Birder's Wood. There is no way he's going to be allowed to build a treehouse in Birder's Wood, which belongs to a person. Mm-hmm. It's not even an issue. Like, if they just been like, all right, well, you have to wait until Squire Grizzly comes back before you can build anything, dude, then it all just would have been a moot point.
Yeah.
As it stands, they're going to have to tear down the ultimate treehouse as soon as Squire Grizzly gets back from vacation.
I kind of wish Squire Grizzly was a part of this story because a lot of compromise involves a third party facilitating compromise, right?
Well, we saw that in the original book.
Yeah.
Like, there were three sides, kind of. There was the side who wanted the bird helped. There was a side who wanted the... there who wanted the woods cut down. And then there was kind of this nebulous center, which was Squire Grizzly and a few other people, like the police and the mama copter of people.
But I think what the TV show gets right is cutting to the chase, is focusing a theme around what's happening. Because I feel the novel, if that's what we're calling it, is just, it kind of goes on a lot of tangents and doesn't know exactly what it wants to be about.
Yeah, and it spends a lot of time just getting to the point.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas this is just like, Tuttle's conflict is introduced early on. We know that he's going to want to build a treehouse. That's why he's going to the woods. I like that they didn't make the yellow popinjay extinct.
Like
they changed it to endangered. It makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. So you don't have to worry at the end when they like take it out of the woods and you're like, but it's extinct.
Yeah, that's the only one.
Maybe
left.
The last one.
And it's just like, oh, we don't usually see this thing in here. We didn't know they.
Sure.
Let's just keep this one safe so that it can reproduce. Like, I like that. It's endangered. It's not the last one of its kind.
Right.
Of course, we miss out on a bunch of the relationship stuff. But I cannot stress enough that they could not have built this treehouse. Because it's on private land that belongs to Grizzly.
Well, I can't stress enough that compromise isn't giving someone two times more
what they,
than what they want in order for
them to go away.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not compromise. That's maybe diplomacy?
Possibly.
Like, maybe that's, you know, maybe it does reflect Brother Bear's, like, I just want all this trouble to go away attitude that he kind of has sometimes. But yeah, that is the opposite of compromise. That is because Brother doesn't gain. Brother gives up his labor. He gives up. They give up the materials to build this thing. They give up their time. Mm-hmm. Papa gives up income because this is work time. He could be like, they sacrifice a lot. Mm-hmm. So I guess in a sense, like,
Mama missed another art show because Papa had to
bring all that wood. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He has a truck, by the way. I guess they forgot about that. Like, he
Mama's
has a
art career suffered.
He has a business.
She didn't
truck.
Get discovered.
I don't think Mama was submitting art to the art show. I think she was just viewing art at the art show.
Viewing all the risks that could have happened. Sorry, I'm stuck in this property project management mode.
Well, and also like actual factual didn't come back into the story. Like,
But
you're right. No, it streamlines it a lot. It does what the TV show does best, which is try to teach a simple lesson. Unfortunately, it does not teach that lesson.
It's
like, it doesn't teach what compromise actually
is. It's true.
Too Tall gave up nothing. He on paper he did. He gave up the best tree, but that's unmeasurable. Like that's not a
yeah.
That's like a if you're putting this on a spreadsheet, it is simply it's a 1-to-1
mm-hmm.
like switch tree
I
to
wish
tree.
Too Tall had more of a character, so we could like understand his emotional connection to this tree.
Right.
Because in the TV show, he's just like, it's the best tree. And you're like, do you really yeah. think that?
We never even get a good look at the tree.
Do you really care?
Yeah. Like, it doesn't look majestic or anything. If we'd had a neat shot and it'd been like this sort of like Guillermo del Toro, like Pan's Labyrinth-esque, like haunted tree.
Yeah.
And then like the other one had just been like a plain tree. Then I'd be like, all right, he wanted in the awesome scary tree. But instead, he had to settle on like an ordinary tree.
Yeah.
Or if the other tree had been covered in bugs or something.
Yeah.
Now, you raised another good point, which is, what is the... for animals that live, for people who build their homes in trees anyway,
mm-hmm.
what is the novelty of a treehouse?
Right. Like, what would that look, how would that, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but how would that translate into the human world? If we were to build, I don't know, is that like just a deck? If we were to build a fort around our house?
The ultimate deck.
Ultimate deck.
Like kids are out building decks.
Yeah.
Just like in the middle of like
yeah.
playgrounds. Gazebos, maybe. Is that what it is? Is that a gazebo is? Like the human ultimate fort, ultimate house?
No, this is a kind of a gathering center. I want kids to really get into like building platforms off the side of their already constructed houses.
Right. Extension. I think those are called extensions. I think you need permits to do that.
Yeah, but do you need a permit to build a treehouse?
Do you? You probably need a permit to build something like their treehouse, the ultimate treehouse.
Yeah, if it's got like levels and
yeah, once you start putting like stairs in something, I think mm-hmm. that's like where the mm-hmm. where the city's going to get involved.
What is a tree fort?
What do you mean?
I don't know. What was a tree fort when you were a kid?
Did you know any good tree forts?
It's because you lived in a treeless neighborhood.
I lived in a tree. I lived in a tree. It didn't make any sense for us to have a tree fort. We had a we had a little clubhouse in the backs. It was on
yeah.
stilts. My dad built it. It was like you had to climb up into a little hatch to get into it.
Okay.
But it wasn't in a tree. It was yeah. just a little like raised platform. I don't even know how tall it was. Probably like yeah. 4 feet off the ground mm-hmm. now that I think about it. But
my dad built a playhouse that was made of pretty cheap wood, but it was shaped like a little house and had a deck in the front with like astroturf.
Now, I did have a friend who had, and this is probably the equivalent of the Bears mm-hmm. tree fort, which is they had a house in their backyard that was built out of the same materials as their house. It looked like
oh.
their house, except it was a kid's house. It had two stories, but the floors were like 5.5 feet tall.
Sure.
Or 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. Like I had to stoop down to be in mm-hmm. it. But it was like fully wired for electricity. It had heat.
Wow.
It had cable.
Yeah.
It was a house, but it was a small
house. It had
house.
Cable?
Well, they just ran the cable out to it, but yeah, they had cable out there. And a TV and a stereo. And the kids could sleep out there if they wanted to.
Amazing.
It had a real locked door.
Amazing.
It was probably the coolest little house I've ever seen.
I want to do that, but with a tiny library.
I want to do that with a small car.
You're just a smaller version of your own car.
Right, right.
To trail behind it.
It can, how many, I was going to see like how many of those tiny cars could you fit inside a clown, but I couldn't figure out how to make that joke work. So I just abandoned it on the side of the road like a tiny car.
Or a tiny clown.
Uh-oh, someone's clown.
Hashtag, uh-oh, someone's clown.
That was a shout-out. That was a little shout-out.
Shout-out to E. Shepherd.
Yeah, former guest of the show.
I had a neighbor, if we're going to keep talking about treehouses, I think it was basically a pallet up in the tree.
Yeah.
That had a either a makeshift ladder that was kind of like 2x4s that were nailed into the side of the
yeah
or you climbed up there yourself and you hung out on the pallet and it was cool because you're up high.
Did you shoot a deer?
I did not shoot a deer
because I think they
but
built
I think
those...
I was about as high as the second story of their house.
Oh wow, it's like a good 10 feet up.
Yeah
I remember once I had this friend who lived in town. His name was Sam Miller, who once borrowed my Nintendo Entertainment System Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles the arcade game and hasn't returned it yet. That was back in junior high.
That came with a coupon for a free pan pizza.
I bet it did.
All right, let's keep going.
The same Sam Miller, in case you've heard that story on Facebook. He had just moved into town and I went over to his house to visit him because he was the new kid in town. He was roughly my age, so it's mm-hmm. like, let's go visit the new kid. And he's back in his backyard and he's like, let's build a treehouse. And he had his arms like full of lumber and he was like carrying a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? Like, it never occurred to me that, like, a child could build a treehouse, that, like, a kid could do that. Like, it was a weird thing.
Yeah.
So, like, the concept of Tutal and his gang building their own treehouse would have been alien to me as a kid. Like, it wouldn't have made any sense. Like, how can kids do that? I guess they can. I guess kids can build, like, a... I don't know if they could build something like the ultimate tree fort.
That would use a lot of parental guidance and supervision.
Well, yeah, you'd break your neck if you tried to build that thing and then stand on it.
Yeah.
There's no way that Tutal and Vinny and Scuzz or Scuzz and Smirk are going to be able to, like, build something that can support the three of their weight. That's terrible.
I agree.
And then who's liable? Squire Grizzly. It's his land.
It's his land, yeah.
You build a tree fort in his land.
I mean, Papa supervised.
Who's getting sued? Yeah, no, so Papa supervises the building of the ultimate tree fort. Mm-hmm. That thing falls, or Vinny falls over the side, or Scuzz pushes Smirk over the side.
Yeah.
Papa's getting sued. He's losing his license. Mm-hmm. And then either Squire Grizzly's getting sued as well because it's on his land, or he's like turning the lawsuit back around on Papa.
Mm-hmm.
So some compromise. Good compromise, guys. Everyone gives up something except for Tutal.
Well, I think we brought that to its furthest limit. I think
logically that's where it goes.
Yeah. What was this story even about?
Compromise. About.
But compromise without sacrifice.
In a way, brother was the bird with the fake broken wing. Take it and learn to fly again. Learn to. I don't know the words to the song. Learn, take these broken wings.
See, you could have gone to the blackbird side of things too.
Blackbird, son, won't you come? That one?
Yep.
Blackbird swinging on the something today. Swing away.
Ultimate tree fort.
Tutal swinging in the tree fort now. Something, I don't know the way the song goes. I can't think of it off the top of my head. The Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
Bear McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You guys get the new Bear McCartney album?
Paul McCartney led a band called The Wings.
Oh.
Wings are something that birds have.
Mm-hmm.
Back to our story.
Take... He's broken just like that. It's full circle. So that's it. That's the Berenstain Bears showdown at Birder's Wood from Nelvana 2003. It is actually available if you go online. It is available on YouTube legally from Treehouse Direct. If you go to Treehouse Direct or to the Berenstain Bears official YouTube site, every cartoon ever made for Berenstain Bears is now available legally on YouTube. So you don't have to feel weird watching them. There, you're not breaking any laws. They have released their own stuff for free to the public to watch, so go have a gander. Start a competing podcast if you want. I don't care.
I might just do that, Phil.
I wasn't talking to you.
No,
I mean, please don't.
Okay,
don't
fine.
Ever do that, Mark. What are you working on these days?
Well, if you were listening last week, I'm anticipating the birth of my first child.
Yes.
That's all I'm working on.
When is it supposed to show up?
October 25th, so wish us well.
But we know.
Then I'll never be on this podcast again.
No. People with babies have podcasts.
I know.
One day you'll be sitting in the same chair, in the same room, but you'll be nursing a baby, talking on the show.
It's true. It's been done before.
Mm-hmm. All over the place, all over this chair.
Good.
So I'm working on my podcasts. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. I have this. I have Is Del Toro Time, a Guillermo del Toro podcast that I host with my teen, Ollie. And I have Click It Cast, a Beverly Cleary podcast that I host with John McCoy, where we talk about Beverly Cleary. On this show, you can also become a patron on Patreon.com.
Yes.
And if you subscribe to the $1 level, which is the Cub level, you can... get access to any bonus episodes I do for Patreon. If you subscribe at the $5 level, you get to ask a question that I will answer on the air about any aspect of Bear Country you want answered. I will pontificate to your heart's desire. If you subscribe at the $10 level, you get to request a special bonus episode with a non-Berenstain Bears topic. You get to choose any book series, any children's book series you want for me to cover. I will do a bonus episode for you if you subscribe to the $10 level. And I do have a special announcement. Our first bonus episode will be coming out within the next month. And the topic...
What's the topic? Can you tell me?
I can. Did you want to know?
Tell me, Phil.
I will be covering, as the first ever bonus episode, the history of...
Ooh, do I get to say it?
You get to say it.
Amelia Bedelia.
I will be covering the Amelia Bedelia book series from beginning to now. So got a lot of Amelia Bedelia to read. There's like about 1,000 books. There's so many Amelia Bedelia books.
I can't wait to hear about that.
But I'm going
to
be doing
some
Amelia Bedelia research, so buckle up. And we'll see what happens with the Amelia Bedelia. And if you want to become a patron, just go to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry and do it. I mean, that's pretty much it. That's how you do it. So thank you, everyone out there. You can reach me at berenstainbearcast@gmail.com, berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com. I'm on Twitter at bstainbearcast. And Mark, thank you so much for coming back on the show and talking about Birder's Wood.
Thank you, Phil. Always a pleasure.
It is always happy to see you. Everyone is happy to see you. Always. When they see you coming down the street, they're always happy. Everyone is happy. Now, everyone is happy. And I will see everyone who is happy next week. Deep in
Bear Country.
Thank you.